Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see things from a very different perspective. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com. And remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Weekly Wisdom. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now, on to the KevCast. Hi, everybody, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm Kevin Winder, your host. Well, today, we have something special for you. Today, we're going to dive right into it, and we're going to talk about homosexuality. Now, I know that this is a pivotal topic. It divides families. It clearly divides churches. It divides our culture, politics. Why is it that it is such a hotbed of contention? Why are so many people making so much noise about it? When you go online, you see all these Facebook posts, you see all these tweets and everything else from both sides. And I took the liberty a couple weeks ago and I wrote a blog called It's Not About Homosexuality. The issue is not homosexuality. And it received 3 times the highest number of hits of any blog that I've ever done. And I did it because I really wanted to add a contribution to the discussion. I'm not here to criticize, to ridicule, to poke fun, to call the other side stupid, because I've been on both sides quite a long time. And because I've been on both sides, I can actually speak to this subject. And I believe what you're going to hear today in this podcast is content that you have not heard on this discussion. Now, it might take me 2 sections to do it. I might break this up into 2 talks simply because it might take a little bit, but it will be worth your time. It will be worth your time. The comments and the feedback that I got from my blog were like this. I have never heard that before. You have given me information that has truly helped me see things from a different perspective. Well, that's what this podcast is all about, helping you see things from a different perspective. So let's just dive right in, okay? You know, the issue is not homosexuality. Now, I know that this is a pivotal thing, and everybody who's arguing about it wants to make it about homosexuality. And quite honestly, it's not. So I'm going to look at it from a very different perspective. Now, let me lay down a few cones here. Let me put some feelers out here so that we can kind of direct our conversation. I do understand this issue. I have worked inside the local church in various leadership capacities for more than 25 years. Now, I have matured in my faith over the years. I wasn't born into a Christian family. You know, I didn't come to faith until I was about 12 years old. And so my position has matured over the years, and my ideas on this subject have evolved to where they are today. Now, I also have many dear friends and relatives who are homosexuals and who are also people of tremendous faith. You see, being a Christian and a homosexual are not mutually exclusive, as so many people, especially within the church, have come to believe. Now, I know right there, some are going to just turn off this podcast and walk away. They're like, nope, you see, he is favorable and affirming to the homosexual lifestyle and community. And guess what? I am. I believe we should be affirming. I think we should be understanding. And I think the church is moving in that direction, which is a good thing. But there are many, many people who are struggling with how do I understand homosexuality? Because the Bible says it's a sin. And aren't you just calling something a sin, not a sin? And that wouldn't be right. We can't do that. And so that's where the struggle lies for many people. Now, like I said, this might take 2 times because when I did the post, it was a long post. But in the end, my desire is to make a very convincing argument for Christian people to be affirming and to embrace their homosexual brothers and sisters. We need to actually mature past the love the sinner, hate the sin approach, which is really anything but loving. Now, I believe there is such a thing as sexual immorality, but homosexuality is not synonymous with it. That's a vital point. There is sexual immorality, but homosexuality need not be synonymous with it. It took me more than a decade of examining every single text in the scripture on the issue of homosexuality to figure that out. In fact, my doctoral thesis was on this subject, and I exhaustively reviewed every verse to build a point. Now, I was talking about porneia, and I'll get into this in a little bit, but the issue is that I have read it. I have looked at it. And trust me, trusting what the Bible says in terms of authority is actually what got me away from my anti-gay upbringing. Yes, I grew up in a very fundamental mindset. I grew up believing that all gay people were sinners, the worst kind of sinners. I no longer feel that way. And you know what it was that got me out of it? It wasn't the Bible that put me in it. It was the Bible that got me out of it. And I hope others will consider how I got there. So pay attention. Now, once you boil this issue down, it's really not about homosexuality. The first level of this issue is really all about authority. Authority. Now, it seems like it's about homosexuality until you start arguing or talking about it, and then all of a sudden you realize this is about authority. Now, those who tote an extremely strict line do so because of their conviction that the scripture, which they believe is God's word, is explicit with regard to homosexuality and homosexual conduct, and therefore the subject is not open for debate. The Bible says so, it says it in black and white right there, and you don't do it. They see those who contextualize passages, right? They those who take a literal interpretation, see those who contextualize the passages that refer to homosexuality as skirting the issue, as dodging the real point, as trying to avoid submitting to a biblical worldview. They see them as, you know, milquetoast pastors or Bible teachers who are just pandering to the culture. Instead of changing the culture, they are being led by the culture. And so that whole wave of movement is wrong in their eyes, and they feel like that is sinful. And so it drives their heels in deeper as they push against the wave, the pressure of the culture. They see themselves as pleasing God by resisting this. So in their view, you can either have God's word or you can have an inclusive view of homosexuality, but you cannot have both. Right? This is a problem, right? So keep in mind that biblical authority is the original issue. We have to get to that first. Is the Bible an authority? Now, most people who are not acquainted with the Bible, who don't go to church, who are not wouldn't ascribe themselves as Christian, are going to say, gosh, you know, I'm clearly not a Christian. And so I do not see the Bible as an authority. And it's silly to put your trust in a book that was written thousands of years ago and to a very different people. I get that. But keep in mind, if you're from a more conservative perspective, that biblical authority is actually what convinced people that non-whites were second-class citizens. Our parents' generation or your parents' parents' generations grew up believing from pastors that black people had the sign of Cain. That they were subhuman, they were a second-class citizen, that the darker the skin, you know, the less pure you were. These are ideas that also came from the Bible. It's strange, but I can see how it's in there. And obviously, there are people who twist the Bible to say whatever the heck they want it to say, and I'm not about to do that today, so if you are thinking, gosh, he's going to twist the Bible to be inclusive of homosexuality, then you're wrong. I'm not going to twist the Bible at all. I'm actually going to just let the Bible be what it is. But the people who twist it are groups like the KKK and countless other dehumanizing cults or bizarre religious practices. What about the Crusades? What about all the wars? That is a twisting of the scripture so that you can harm another person and hurt them. Authority then simply gives our natural, racial, economic, political, and religious biases a lot of power, lots and lots of power. So if the desire here is for God's word to be the authority, and for some of you that's the case, for some of you that is not the case, but let's just go with the first. If you really want God's word to be the authority, then it's really crucial to do the very best job you can to carefully interpret the words of scripture. You have to do so in light of everything that is said in the book. In other words, we can't highlight a few texts in the overarching meta-narrative. We can't just highlight a few texts and say, hey, this verse says homosexual, so I looked it up in the concordance, and the five verses that say homosexuality, I looked at them, and they all said bad things about it, therefore the Bible speaks bad things about it. That is like sophomoric. Okay, if you do not understand the meta-narrative, the greater story of Scripture, and then you put something like a verse in Scripture outside the context of that, you are doing harm to the Scripture. You can't just proof text it by looking up at a word in the concordance. It has to dovetail with the themes that are within the Scripture. And this is a process called hermeneutics, and it's not easy. And I'll just tell you, I am not perfect at it, but I have given years of my life to studying the Scripture. And it's a process that is always being developed, okay? So the end result is that we have to do our best. And, you know, our findings should foster a healthy conversation, not a war, not the punitive treatment or dehumanization or a civil rights violation. It should foster a conversation instead. Okay, so this highlights probably the most important point that we need to get at first, okay? And that is that how a person thinks is really sometimes way more of the problem than what that person is actually thinking. So you can hold to the idea of the scripture being true and authoritative, but it's the how you go about thinking which is way more crucial. What I find often when I'm in these discussions is that I do not disagree with the what. You know, people would argue with me by talking about what to believe. I don't disagree with the what. I usually take issue with the how the person thinks. You see, that's the big issue. A person who thinks in black and white terms, who subscribes to the notion that, hey, God's word, printed in English, of course, is binding on all people. If they believe that that's the case, then they are going to be way harder to convince, not because of what, as in what's in the Bible that they actually believe, but because of the how, the black and white kind of dualistic thinking that's in their mind. They have in or out, good or bad, black and white, good and evil categories for things, and they lump everything into either ors. And if that's how you think, this subject is going to be challenging to you, because the meta-narrative of Scripture and what Christianity brings to the table is not an either-or story. It's actually a both-and. And hey, there's a higher third thing still. So until a person matures and is honest enough with the fact that some things are just not that simple, some things are not just black and white, then they will never approach things with the required nuances that godly wisdom actually provides, you see? So the problem here is not homosexuality, it's how a person thinks. It's not so much what they think, although that can be problematic, it's how they're thinking. So as a way of kind of outlining how we're going to talk about this, I'm going to talk first and foremost about that how versus what approach to thinking and biblical truth. Okay, the next section will be on the issue of authority, and whether a person really actually has a biblical worldview. You know, a lot of people go around saying, hey, I believe the Bible's true. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And then I ask him, okay, have you read the whole Bible? oh, sure, over the years, I've heard the whole Bible preached, or I've read passages of every book. No, have you read it cover to cover? Well, you know, yeah. Well, do you remember this part over here about, you know, Hezekiah? Do you remember this part about, you know, in Ezra? Well, no. So you're not really that familiar with the Bible. You see, most people who claim to follow and read and know the Bible hardly ever actually read it. Did you know that? And those who actually do commit themselves to reading it sometimes have a mindset that the way they read it, it just goes into certain buckets of good or bad, black and white, and they need to mature their thinking. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. The third thing we're going to talk about are the practical implications of most religious beliefs and how they actually relate, such as divorce or monogamy or polygamy. These are other side tangential issues that emerge from this issue of sexual immorality, and homosexuality gets lumped into that quite a bit. So we're going to actually look at those practical implications, and you're going to see in a practical way that homosexuality is not what you think it is. And then the last thing I want to talk about is the goal of Christianity. So it's the how versus what, it's the issue of authority, the practical implications, and then the goal of Christianity. Okay, so let's get started. The how, the versus what scenario. Now, I talked already about the black and white kind of thinking. So in my doctoral thesis, I go into great detail about the difference between how and what people think. I summarize it in my book, Getting Better When You Can't. In short, a person is taught and reinforced to think in black and white terms. And when they do, they're not really using higher critical reasoning skills. You see, the black and white terms are part of the old code when we're growing up. We need a set of rules. That's good. That's bad. That's a hot stove. That's not. Do not touch. Do not go down the stairs. Do not go over there. Don't touch. Don't jump on the couch. We get black and white when we're kids because we need those kind of parameters. As we grow up, our thinking moves into more critical stages, and we can reason through things. This is called developing an ethic. Okay, so my PhD is in ethics, and so I had to understand how that came. Now, this is all normal and good when we're young, but there are also places where this kind of thinking is still required, right? If you're at the edge of the Grand Canyon and it says, do not go past this line, or if you're at Yosemite and you're walking, following the river, and you see a sign that says, this is a point of no return. If you fall in the river, you will die. It's black and white. It's not up to interpretation. There are certain places where that's absolutely required. And so that's good, but we live in a very diverse and nuanced world. And so if we lack the ability to see and reason through things, then we end up with very few categories for understanding things. Now, it's the amount of categories that a person possesses that tells us how mature their thinking actually is. It's the number of categories that you possess. So if you have two buckets, you're very immature in your thinking. Then everything goes into this bucket or that bucket. If you have three buckets, you're growing. If you have 10 buckets, you're more mature. If you have 50 buckets, then you're more mature still. At some point, you move into a second tier consciousness, higher levels of thinking. You know, Richard Rohr would call it the second stage of life, the second half of life. You know, you get rid of the false self and move into the real self. You see, a child, though, has very few categories. Therefore, they can't make sense of certain things. Adults who think in black and white terms will still try and put things into simple categories without doing the work of actually thinking through the implications. You see, this means that when you talk about religion or politics with someone, it usually devolves into an argument or a fight or something like that, so long as the categories into which they put novel information end up in either one or two buckets. So like you could have a conversation, or you can hear a news report, or you could read a study, or you could learn something, or have a guest, or actually meet an amazing, inspiring person, and they will teach you something that's new, something that you had never heard or seen before. Well, the child will either put that in the it's still bad category, or it's good category. But a reasoning person will actually say, wow, that's a new category. I'm going to have to hold on to that and now rethink all the other stuff that I had put in the other categories. They actually might belong in here now. This is called the how versus what approach. Do you see what I'm getting at? This is actually behind the problem of homosexuality. And what you realize is when you look at politics and you look at the rifts in churches and you look at the rifts on all the message boards and Facebooks and the struggle, it's all stuck in this categories. Some people have a lot of categories and can make a lot of sense of stuff. Other people don't. And that's really behind this issue. Black and white thinking is called dualistic thinking. And one thing is good, then the opposite thing has to be bad, right? That's dualistic thinking. It stems basically from Platonic thought, which demands that the physical world is bad and it sees the spiritual world as good. You know, much of modern Christianity has adopted Platonic dualism into their systems of thought. Now, Nancy Piercy gives a great treatment of this in her book, Total Truth. So I recommend you check that out. And Piercy is spelled P-E-A-R-C-E-Y. Total Truth. Now, while many Christians are getting away from dualistic thinking and dualism, they're maturing. But as Richard Ward would say, many are still followers of Plato rather than Jesus. And that's something we need to think about, because Jesus came to teach us how to think in a non-dualistic way. He opened up the categories. See, the issue of homosexuality closely follows these dualistic thinking tendencies. And that's important to know, because if you got a person who's black and white and they're just going to put the subject in there, the conversation is not going to go very far until they have an extra category, until they learn to grow up, until they desire to grow up. And those who lack a non-dual consciousness are the most adamant in their stance against homosexuality. Of course, they lack any other bucket to put it in. So they're going to be an ass. They're going to be impossible. You're going to pull your hair out trying to reason with them. It's because they're immature. So it's not that they're an idiot. It's not that they're just a jerk. It's that they're immature. And in some way, we have to help encourage them to grow. And that's going to take some time. So I don't make this point to be insulting to those who hold to very strong convictions. You know, I know that people are out there who are strongly convicted that the scripture has said something about homosexuality, and that something isn't good. And I'm not here to say you're an idiot. This is not just an intellectual jab at you, saying that if you're not pro-gay, then you're a backward-thinking person. You know, you see that in the culture, or the backlash, where now if you have an opinion against homosexuality, you're considered, you know, a jerk or a loser or backwards or something else. And that's not necessarily the case. Now, my goal here is to highlight that this is a very real tendency, because it does influence how we view scripture and other issues. Incidentally, this Platonic dualism is found not just in religions, not just in religious people. It's found in aspects of academics and business and sports and the arts and certainly in politics. So this is not a punch at religious fundamentalists. It is a statement that much of our modern world is still growing up. It's still developing. We're in our larval stage, our fetal stage. We're like a child in many ways. And so we're still aligned with narrower ways of thinking. Now, this makes communication about this subject, or any subject, a very big challenge. And now we can see why it is so helpful to be mindful of where we are on this spectrum. How many buckets do you possess? How many buckets do you understand? You see, that is vital. So that's the black and white thinking. That's the how versus what we're going to think. So I am going to pause our podcast here, and I am going to pick it up in part two. And we are going to talk about the next three things, which are the issue of authority, the practical implications of homosexuality, and the goal of Christianity. I hope you'll come back for part two, because that content is actually very, very informative. I'll see you very soon, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. Thanks so much for tuning in to the KevCast. It really means a lot that you give your time and energy to this. It's my goal that this content is challenging sometimes, but mostly helpful, inspiring, and encouraging to you. It's my goal that in the end, you become a much better person. And guess what? I'll become a better person if I hear from you. I welcome your feedback, good or bad. I'd love to start a dialogue with you. If I can answer any questions, please reach out to me at my website, www.kevinwinder.com. Now, remember, I'm a member of the Experts Academy, and I help people who want to understand spirituality to make sense of their religious experience so that they can clearly see God in the world. Until next time, have a great day.